At CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Mountain. This is Annie Roach, and welcome to the second half of our show, where we'll be talking with Beth Southwell, the second half of Two Tall Women. We were speaking to Pamela Carr earlier, who is Beth's mother, and Pam, as I noted earlier, has been a singer-songwriter for many, many years, and this influence has spilled over into her children's lives, and she and Beth have been singing and touring for a number of years. Actually, they've been singing together since Beth was 16, and of course, Beth as a child grew up with music all around her, and now Beth will be releasing her own CD sometime later this spring. Beth, at what stage would you say that your CD is at?
The final stages of it now, but it's really close to being made.
Well, your mom tells me that your brother also had a part.
Yeah, my brother did all of the cover design, all of the graphic design, and we talked about a concept together, and then he went back and made it happen, and so I'm working with him on it, which feels really special to bring him in the picture.
I think that's fabulous. That's so amazing. When I was talking with your mom, she had said at one point there was like four tall women in the band.
Oh,
and I thought, okay. And then she mentioned that her son, your brother, had done the artwork for your CD. So it's a real family community affair.
Yeah, it was funny. We were two tall women, three tall women, four tall women, three tall women, and then two tall women again.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
That's great. That said, I'm really curious about how you got started in collaborating with your mom and touring with your mom and creating this group.
Yeah, well, it first started when she had all these old songbooks that she had written all the lyrics out to when she was younger, of people that she really admired, Kris Kristofferson or Tom Paxton and lots of different folk artists. And so we'd sit on the couch in the living room and she'd play these songs on her guitar, and then I was just making up harmonies. And then we said that was at the beginning stage of it. And then we used to run a folk club in our house. And my first time ever performing any of those sort of songs in public was at the folk club that we had in our own downstairs. It was a great big space that used to be used as a folk club years ago, and I was performing with her then. And then it just sort of took off, and we ended up sort of getting gigs and writing our own stuff and singing harmony and playing different instruments with each other as Two Tall Women. And then she booked the entire tour that we did of the UK independently, which was amazing. Sent out hundreds of packages and got us, you know, an entire tour of England and Scotland, which was amazing. So it just sort of grew from there.
This is really inspiring.
Yeah.
And so this started for you at what age?
At 16.
Wow, so you've had a pretty fabulous life.
Oh, it's been, I mean, and the funny thing about the house that we lived in when I first sang at the folk club, my mom, it used to be called Alouette Arts, and she used to go down there when I was 3 years old and bring me and my sister down there, and we would fall asleep on these benches while my mom performed at this open stage with a majority of her friends. And then 15 years later, we're living in the house and putting on open nights, folk nights ourselves, and blues jams and jazz nights and all this stuff. So it was a really interesting thing to have been there at such a young age and then be living there and putting on shows ourselves.
Very synchronistic.
Yes, yeah. That house had a big part of our lives, yeah.
Such a nice memory. Okay, well, here's one of Beth's original songs that will be on her upcoming CD, and it's called Actions.
Speak louder than words.
having had those experiences so young and then again later, and seeing your mom always, it sounds to me like she was always singing and music was always a part of your life.
Yes.
How is that now influencing how you write and how you perform?
I write as a way of processing. So that's my therapy, I guess, is like if I've got something that's on my mind or blocking me or whatever, I sort of turn it into a song. So it's a great tool for me to sort of deal with stuff. And, you know, and now I'm really active in the music community in East Vancouver, and I've surrounded myself by a similar circle of people that my mom had in her life that I grew up with as far as her friends were concerned. So I feel like I've kind of recreated a very similar social network that I was exposed to by my mom and her friends.
Nice.
It was just really nice, and it's a really supportive, loving community, and it's always exciting because people are doing stuff all the time, so that's good. And you know, I have so many joyful memories, and I was inspired by so many of my mom's friends that has influenced my writing and how I create for being exposed to that at such a young age.
Wow. Well, this is a good jumping off point to talk about one specific song, Funny the Way It Is. That is an amazing, powerful song, and it's very heartfelt. Can you talk about what that song means to you and the inspiration for writing it?
Well, the funny thing about that song, I had two songs, and it was a real stream of consciousness song. Some of the songs I write, I'll just pick up a guitar, and I had a little cassette recorder, and I would hit play and record, and I just played these chords and that entire song came out, and I had to sit it and go through the cassette and write down all the words because I didn't even know what I had said.
Mm-hmm.
I had to memorize. It was like I was learning a cover song or something. I had to memorize all the lyrics. So it was one of those songs that I don't entirely know where it came from.
I love those songs. It's like they just flow right through you.
I didn't really edit it. I'm always a little bit hesitant to start playing around with stuff when it is stream of consciousness. I know there's a need to edit and all that kind of stuff, but I also feel like there's a reason, and maybe I don't even understand what it is, that certain lines come through, and it might not make sense to me why it's there, but there could be a purpose for it to be there, you know? So I'm always really hesitant to mess around with the stream of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that. Yeah. It's like art's the same. You got to know when to stop.
Yeah.
When to stop painting, and just if you just follow that, it's like a meditative trance in a way.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, it's a gorgeous song.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that leads me to Boxes. I love that tune, and just about moving and what moving represents and all those boxes and what to take and what not to take. What does it mean to you to pack away things that you might not see for a while, or to give away things that you might not see again? This song is obviously very significant for you. Can you talk about that?
You're packing it away and you're making that kind of shift and then moving into the unknown and not really knowing what your life is going to look like in that environment, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about something your mom had told me. I don't know if this is a little bit more synchronicity, but did you live in a house on Charles and Salisbury?
Yes.
That's you. I lived in that house.
What?
Yes, and then they decided they were going to make it a co-op, and then it didn't become a co-op, and then they've gutted it and tore down a house, right?
Serious?
I am so serious.
Were you in the mansion or the fourplex?
Oh, I wish I was in the mansion. No, I was in the house right on Charles. If you think of it like an L shape,
yeah,
I was in the house. Oh, small world. Well, commercial drive, and so, yeah, I still live in the neighborhood, and I really like it.
With all this talk about moving and living on commercial drive, I think we should play Boxes. Okay, here we go. The song will be on Beth's upcoming CD.
When I was packing up my boxes, known. I put my pictures on the wall and my things on the shelf. New neighborhood, a new routine, a new life, or so it seems. But everywhere I go, I'm there with me, and at the end of the day, it's all I need.
Do you do shows on the drive at Café du Soleil or any of the other local spots?
Well, the last thing I sort of did has I've been sort of singing with friends. I haven't really been putting on my own shows lately, but at the Prop House, which is...
I love the Prop House.
It's such a beautiful space, and it's a really neat place to do a show because it's just so warm inside feeling, you know?
Now, have you done formal or more informal stuff there?
Fairly formal, I would say.
Really? Okay.
Cover performances with cover charges. And my friend Christy Rose just did a CD release concert there last week. And so I was singing harmonies and stuff with her there. And it was very much about being a proper show. So, which is nice that that's sort of becoming a venue space that you can use for that, you know?
Yes.
Because it just got such a, you know, much more, just a nicer atmosphere than, you know, than something like Café du Soleil. We're fine for what it does, but it sort of, it's just big and boxy, right? And it's hard to get good sound there sometimes. So.
Sure, yeah. No, it's very eclectic at the Prop House and,
yeah,
you know, with their lamps and just all their sort of odds and ends. It's very cool.
My next thing is to figure out for my CD release concert. That's the next thing on the agenda, but I just really want to get my album made first, and then I can get the graphics done, and I can look into doing something, be it like Under the Culture, the Fire Hall, or Art Center, or something like that.
Now, do you have a date for when your CD will be released?
Not yet, because we're just finishing up the artwork, and it's one of those things, we're in the final stages of it, but it's hard to pinpoint when the end point's going to be. I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, in about 6 weeks or something like that I would be...
Oh, okay, so definitely before the summer.
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
That I'd be thinking about doing a release concert.
That would be fabulous. Have you had a release party before, say, when your mom and you released a CD?
Yeah, we did one in Maple Ridge, which was a really great thing. We had an entire band with us, and it was our more traditional album. So we had, you know, really great instrumentalists and stuff, and it was a fantastic show we did in Maple Ridge, and we had a really good turnout and really celebratory. So, yeah, it was fun.
Nice. I know that recently you did a show at the Rio.
Oh, yeah, Extravaganza.
That sounded pretty amazing, and you did the sheet music of The Broken Mirrors?
So what it was is Beck's latest release, only available in sheet music. There's no recording of it, so that he can't hear him play his songs. He released the entire album in sheet music. So the only way you could ever hear his music is if you played it or someone you knew could play it. Like just taking us back a few hundred years in terms of how music was communicated to people.
Right.
So The Broken Mirrors they bought the album of sheet music, learned all the songs, and then got different people to perform the songs with them, and then did the entire evening of his album. So that was the first time anybody had ever heard those pieces. And then if you go onto if you go onto YouTube or whatever, you'll hear people doing their version of different songs that they're playing. But there's no like album from Jack that you can listen to hear how he would have played them. You just have to take his notes.
That's a very cool idea.
Yeah. So it was a really, really smart thing. And Broken Mirrors, I mean, those guys are so talented. And I also think it's really complimenting people that have taken the time to learn music properly. And it's sort of saying, okay, I believe there's still a lot of people out there that actually learn properly and can do, can, and I have faith that they're going to be able to pull this music off if I release it this way. So it felt like, a kudos to those that take the time to really learn music, that they'll be able to recreate his album. You know, I thought that was kind of a nice thing.
Yes. Now, I understand you did the song Jesse.
I did a song with Jesse, yeah. It was called, I think, Last Night You Were a Dream. And it was, Jesse's one of my closest friends. We sing a lot together. And
okay.
I would sing with him, and so we did that song, and it was awesome.
Now, are we able to find that song on the internet?
They're releasing them one at a time. The latest one they released was the song that Mother did. And they're sort of like every, we just did one with Company B doing Shanghai. But they're releasing them one at a time, so I don't know when ours is going to be.
Okay, but we can watch for it. So if I were to go onto YouTube and Google Beckstravaganza,
yes, yeah,
I could possibly find some of the songs.
Exactly. And Broken Mirrors as well would probably be helpful in the search. Just to Broken Mirrors, Beckstravaganza, and just. Yeah, it should be coming out.
Okay, awesome. I will do that. Now, I just want to ask you about a couple more of your songs.
Yeah.
You have a song, I Try, but it's also called You Say.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the writing of that song and also about why it has two names?
Well, I haven't settled on an actual name for it. I don't really know what to call it. Because I think of, like, every now and then I'll think of this other song where the first line is You Say, and I don't want it to be confused with that song, so then I sort of feel like I need to not call it You Say. And then I Try is just, it's just a line that I repeat a few times, so I sometimes wonder if that's the more appropriate title because I'm saying it more often. But it's just been a tricky song to label. And that was a song, another processing song of just me trying to get through something and feeling like the other person in the situation, just it made it seem like it was so easy for them, but for me it was really challenging. And I was trying to make it easy trying to convince myself that it was easy, but in my heart I was feeling that it definitely wasn't. And so it's a sort of battle of wanting to be one way but feeling something different, in that whole conflict of trying to be okay when you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So
I hear that. That's a part of the creating process, hey?
Yeah, exactly. And so that was, it was a really important song for me in terms of trying to make sense of those feelings and just sort of work through, and it was just sort of therapeutic in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, here we go with I Try and You Say.
I know. It's easy. I try, and I know it's crazy. I try.
Dig that crazy chick.
Who wears short shorts?
We wear short shorts.
There's some short shorts.
We like short shorts.
If you'd like to dig that crazy beat, check out My Little Underground every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. or online anytime at www.cjsf.ca. Come on down and get your fix of 50s and 60s rock and roll, surf rock, rockabilly, 70s and 80s punk, and much, much more. And be sure to wear your short shorts. That's My Little Underground, Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Well, I've really enjoyed getting to know your music. I think you're a beautiful songwriter and very heartfelt.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's the one thing is, like, I do feel like the songs are very open and honest and is a bit vulnerable in sharing them and stuff. But I feel like the more open we are with each other, it's, you know, and I've sat in an audience and heard people sing songs like that, and it's really nice when you can convince yourself that you're alone in a feeling, and then when someone else sings about something that really speaks to you, you realize we're all so connected, and everybody's, you know, has to work through their stuff, and, you know, you can sort of have your pity party and feel like you're the only one that has a challenging life or something, but it's actually the more people talk about stuff and share their experiences, the more we realize we all go through our stuff, and it's sort of unifying to me, validating, you know. If I could ever give a voice through what I'm doing to other people that have experienced the same thing, then that's great to me. It's connecting, you know?
Yeah, I do know. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to need to wind down in a few minutes.
Okay.
But before we do, I'd just like to ask you, what direction do you see your career going, and do you have any shows coming up in the near future?
Once my album's released, I'm excited about that, and I really want to get it sent out to radio and do a lot of work in terms of promoting it and using it as the tool that I hope that it will be, and get more performances with that happening. Well, I work in the arts, and I still intend on sort of keeping my day job, so to speak, but I would like to really start to get my music out there, and I'd be interested in trying to get some stuff on TV and movie sort of options, which I have some connections with once the album's done,
just to get
the song shuffled around a little bit, if that's possible. Also have been talking with my friend Jesse, who's recording his album, about doing a tour in the UK again. So my family's over there, so it would be a really great opportunity for us to sort of go over there and play some shows together, promoting both of our albums, but we also, you know, enjoy singing together, so that would be a neat thing for us to do. For that, I'm also starting to do more promoting of other people's music, of my friends who have fantastic albums and just no presence on the internet, or they don't really understand the industry side of things, and I would like to sort of support some of them in getting their material out to the proper place.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, so I'm looking at developing My Nightingale Productions, which I've had in place probably for 18 years. And I sort of, sometimes I'm busy with it, and then other times it goes in the back burner and I have other priorities I have to work on. So I'm really trying to invest that energy in building that production company up, which in turn would support my friends, but it would also support me staying true to that vision that I had of having this company that would be able to be doing these positive things.
How can people find your music online?
If they want to hear the song, SoundCloud's the best thing. They could also, you know, go on Facebook, and I'm under Beth Selflow. I use Facebook as a promotion tool, so I'm really open to accepting people onto my page. So if anybody wants to contact me that way, otherwise, my email is nightingaleproductions@hotmail.com.
Okay, Beth, well, it's just been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today.
Well, thanks very much.
And so anybody out there, you can find Beth's information online. You can Google Beth Southwell or Nightingale Productions.
And then I have some videos that we've done as well from the cult, the Vancouver's Cultural Center, which are on YouTube, film of a performance that I did.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us today with The Arts Edge. This has been Annie Roach up at CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Mountain. You've been listening to two musicians, singer-songwriters, Pamela Carr and Beth Southwell, the mother and daughter duo of Two Tall Women. Of the songs that you've heard today, some have been performed by Two Tall Women, some from Pamela Carr, and some from Beth Southwell. You can find information about Beth Southwell by Googling her name, by going to SouthCloud or Facebook, and you can get information about her upcoming CD or about Nightingale Productions. And you can also go to Facebook, SoundCloud, or Reverberations to find information about Pamela Carr and or Two Tall Women. I've been Annie Roach. This has been The Arts Edge. See you next week.